Christ the King, he sits on a throne waiting for the right time. Christ the King watches in amazement at the mess that the kings and queens and presidents and prime ministers have made in a world gone sour. Gone sour for as long as anyone can remember. Christ the King sees hungry people and wars that won't end and rich, rich people who seem to care so little for poor, poor people. The people have forgotten where their life comes from. They've forgotten about God or faith or anything more than bills and work or some kind of race to get ahead. Wouldn't it be a relief? Wouldn't it be a relief in a way if Christ the King decided to get up from the throne, gather up those robes, put on some work boots, and say quietly, "It is time. I will now claim the world as my own. Give them what is best for them. Do away with what hurts them." It's Christ the King. Christ the King Sunday. Who is this Christ the King? Is Christ our King like this ruler on the throne who sees what goes on and finally says, "Enough, now I will take charge"? Is Christ the King a superhero? Is Christ the King a second-string quarterback who's called in at the last minute just when the game seems out of grasp and he puts together a glorious touchdown and the Bombers go to the Grey Cup? Nope, guess not. Not this year. Christ the King. Is he just like the kings? If he's just like the kings and queens we know of, then what's new? What's all the fuss? Christ the King stood in a lineup at a soup kitchen in downtown Winnipeg. His clothing and his weathered skin fit in well with the crowd. He came from outside the city, and when he first arrived, he didn't fit in well at all. He used to have a job, but then his wife died, and it all fell apart. He really wondered whether he would be able to live much longer. Every night, he needed a place to stay. Sometimes on the street, sometimes in a shelter, sometimes with a friend when he wasn't turned away. Right now, he just wanted something hot to eat, some warm clothes. Christ the King needed a sense of home. Across the world, Christ the King wanders through the wreckage of another bombing, this time in Egypt. Christ the King seems to be a woman, still one of the least of these, one of the least of these wondering when the madness will end. She lost her husband and is worried about her children. She's terrified for their lives. As craziness rages and hatred mounts and hope fades, Christ the King is in emergency at Health Sciences, alone and sick and away from home. He's put in time at Stony Mountain or Headingley, hoping that life will change when he gets out. Christ the King is a girl from the farm. She ran away from home, hoping to salvage a little bit of her life, trying to pull it together with a job at Tim Hortons. Or maybe Christ the King is a little kid, waiting with excitement for his grandparents to arrive, the least of these. These stories are so strange. Christ the King. How could we think of Christ as these everyday kinds of people? Surely we're supposed to hear about how Christ will return and take his place as Lord of creation, ruler of us all, above us all in glory. We might at least expect Christ our King to behave like a hero or a rescuer, but these stories of Christ being a homeless man or a worried mother or a little kid, what a strange way to be a king. Maybe this story is more familiar. Christ the King, through circumstances we can't understand, has ended up on a cross, a victim of the empire, abandoned by most of his friends. Just a few women have stayed, and there he is. We look for a while and have to look away and think, this is no place for a king, even though there's that sign above his head that says, Christ the King. Just then we remember that story that Jesus once told. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, the hungry, the thirsty, the homeless, the sick, the prisoners, the strangers, you do to me. The words are imprinted in our minds because Jesus repeated them so many times. They come up whenever we cross paths with someone, really. Whatever you do to the least of these. And now things begin to look a little different. Jesus is one with the least of these. Some are us. And Jesus knows what grief is all about. Christ the King is the suffering King. The story comes back. We hear the words again, "I was hungry and you gave me food. Thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you visited me." Just as you did it to one of the least of these, members of my family, Christ says, you did it to me. The King doesn't look down from a throne. The King comes and lives among us. So comes that new and still familiar thought, the way we respond to those among us, those who are sick and poor and imprisoned, that is the way we treat Christ. The way we treat each other, all of us, is the way we treat Christ. It's Christ the King Sunday today. And today, as every day, we live from two different directions. On the one hand, we live with a sense of longing. We join with people everywhere who have hoped against hope. We join together in looking for an end to the pain and the suffering and the sin that our world knows so clearly. Thousands of years of history have taught us that no political party or book or idea or hero, no system really, will be able to bring all of that suffering to an end. Whether it's Brian Bowman or Brian Pallister or Justin Trudeau or Angela Merkel, never mind any of the others, the countless others, all of our years of living have convinced us that we won't get there ourselves. But still, there is the other hand. Still, we wait and hope. We gather in hope today, waiting for a change, working for a change, knowing deep within that God is making some kind of new creation, filled with healing that overflows with life. We gather today in prayer and expectation, remembering, reminding ourselves of Christ our King, because a promise has been made, not just for us, but for everyone, that in Christ the world will for once and for all be made new and alive. I think it's no accident that as we wait today, the nights keep getting longer. But we wait. We join in expectation, but that doesn't mean, of course, that we spend our lives looking to the sky. We work and we care and we wait because we have a promise and a hope. And as we do that, we see a mysterious and blessed and broken world filled with God's image all around us. Filled with the least of these, filled with light in the midst of darkness, filled with beauty and wonder in the midst of brokenness. That's our world. And we have this strange good news that God has chosen to live among us, that Christ is our neighbor, our auntie, our uncle, our friend, not just 2,000 years ago or in some time to come far ahead, but now. And in this world, in Christ's presence among us, Christ has spoken and has said that his place is here and his healing will rule. Christ the King, Christ with us, Christ among us, in this holy world. And so we watch and we wait. Amen.